Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 through 16, in our ongoing look at this book. The writer of Hebrews says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." And that's God's word, and all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it is a joy and a privilege to be able to be here in your house with your people, having just read your word. There's nothing better that I can think of than to be in a place where we can worship you with our brothers and sisters in Christ, having read the very words of God. So we thank you for the privilege, and we ask you that you would give us understanding tonight of your word, that you would speak to us through your word, that you would instruct us and encourage us, and if we need it, to be rebuked and corrected. Whatever your designs for your word for each of us tonight, God, I pray that you would accomplish those things for your glory and for your honor. I pray that you'd be with me as I preach the word. I pray that it would be rightly divided for your glory and for your honor and for the good of your people. Well, thank you for what you'll do for us tonight. In Christ's name and for Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen. Well, in our study of this chapter, we're looking at the subject of faith. And what we have seen so far in this chapter through the illustrations and the examples that God records for us in this chapter, remember, it's not the people, it's their faith that we're looking at, what effect, what faith does in each of their lives. We have seen that it is by faith that we are able to believe and to know that approaching God and worshiping God can only happen through the means by which God has required, and that is through a blood sacrifice. By faith, after coming to God, we see that we continue to walk with God until God takes us home. By faith, we are moved by fear to obey God's word, even when it doesn't make sense. By faith, we go when God says go. It's not important where we are to go, but it's important that we get going with God. By faith, we believe that God makes good on all of His promises, no matter how impossible those promises seem. So that's Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah. That is what we have noticed faith does, and that's what we have seen faith looks like, and our faith should resemble and have the same effect on us as it does on these examples in Scripture. Now, the main thought that I want to try to get across tonight from these verses and from this text is to answer this question. When we face our own individual death, Will our faith do us any good? In death, my death, will my faith do me any good? In your death, will your faith do you any good? Because I think it is in death that we see what our faith is all really about. In death, facing death, there is no faith of health. There is no faith in wealth. There is no faith in earthly blessings, are there? All we have to look forward to is death. And there is a lot of what we call faith that centers on faith that God is going to give us health, faith that God is going to give us wealth, faith that God is going to give us earthly blessings. No, in death, faith is all future-oriented, isn't it? So when we face our own mortality, will our faith do us any good? Because if our faith does us no good in our death, then it is of no good now. So these. Abraham, Sarah, Noah, Abel, Enoch excluded. They all what? They all died. But they died in faith. Not having received the promises. But having seen them, how did they see them? They seen them by faith, right? Having seen them by faith afar off. They didn't receive them, but they saw them. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. They saw them by faith and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. So what this means, these all died in faith. That means that they died, and when they died, they still were believing. They hadn't received all the things that faith had set itself upon, that they were looking for something that they didn't receive in this world or in this life, yet they still believed and trusted God with the promises that He made. Even if they had not received it on earth, they believed they would receive it in heaven. Right? So they saw them afar off and they were persuaded. They saw them afar off and were persuaded of them. Embraced them. Confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims. So Abraham was promised children, was he not? And he did live to see the promised son born of Sarah, right? Isaac. But God had promised that his offspring would be like the stars of the sky and as the sand of the seashore, and that he would possess land. And those things did not occur while he was on earth. He didn't see those promises fulfilled. He died still hoping. He died still longing for. He died still believing these things. So, verse 13 is almost a verse, if we're not careful, we think that it may express some disappointment. They died not receiving the promises that they had seen afar off, even though they were persuaded of them, and even though they embraced them. And even though they lived their lives as strangers and pilgrims on earth, they didn't receive the promises of God. So it almost seems like a disappointment. Abraham and those with him spent their whole lives longing for things that they were promised, longing to have a home of their own, trusting God for this, believing the promises that He gave them, yet they died without having received them. That doesn't seem like a good PR move for faith. So maybe we ought to change and redefine it. Maybe faith is the substance of things hoped for but never received, or the evidence of things not seen that are never realized. So is that what our faith is about, dying with only unfulfilled hopes? I don't think so. What verse 13 tells us is that we make a huge mistake if we think that our walk with God and the receiving of the promises of God is focused on this earth and this present life. It's not. We focus everything on this earth and on this life, but God doesn't. We are to set our minds on things what? Above. Not on the things of the earth. And if God tells us to set our mind on things of heaven and not on earth, don't you think God has set His mind on things heavenly and not earthly? Jesus taught us that we are not to lay up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, but we are to lay up our treasures where? In heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves cannot break in and steal. So this verse, verse 13, challenges the packaged version of Christianity that many churches offer today that offers simply temporal benefits. It's offered sort of like this. If you trust Jesus, you'll do better at work. If you trust Jesus, you'll be a better husband. If you trust Jesus, you'll be a better wife or a better parent. If you trust Jesus, you'll have less stress. If you trust Jesus, you'll lose weight. Temporal benefits. We forget that to be a Christian means to be persecuted in this world. Our blessings are not material, they are spiritual, right? To be a Christian means living as a stranger and a pilgrim. Where? On earth. Means not being able to fit in with others who are slaves to sin. It means dying to yourself, denying yourself, picking up your cross. It means a life of struggle and fellowship in the sufferings of Christ. That's what it means to be a Christian. The temporal things are suffering and persecution. The Christian life means to be at peace with God, but to be at war with the flesh. Yes? We are at war with the flesh and the world and the devil, right? But we have peace with God. And the peace with God brings about the war with the flesh, the world, and the devil. So the primary blessings that Christianity offers don't come in this life at all. They come in the life to come, in the resurrection from the dead. You see, I don't think it ever crossed Paul's mind that to be a follower of Christ meant happiness and health and wealth in this present life. I don't think that ever crossed Paul's mind. Instead, he argued that if there is not a resurrected spiritual life, then we ought to just go ahead and eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. If the dead are not raised, he argued, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. And that's how most people live, right? They live for today with no thought of eternity whatsoever. They live as if this present life was their best life now. But for the believer, it's not that way. That's not how we think, and that's not how we live. Say amen. The Christian realizes that even at the end of this life, the blessings that we have hoped for, those ones that we have not yet received, we will receive in the life to come. We are pilgrims here, and our homeland, our rest, our treasure is not here. It lies beyond the grave. So the writer of Hebrews says, these all died in faith. They all died still believing. Even though they had not received the promises, they had seen them by faith afar off. Our present life, no matter what we may be going through or what we may be facing, are to be filled with joy because of the certainty of what we know lies ahead. That even though we go through many troubles and many problems, and even though we face death, we are persuaded, and we embrace and we enjoy in the things that were promised to us that we will receive in the life. So, to the lost person, death ends it all. All happiness, all joy. And to the believer, death begins it all. So it's obvious that the Christian has a much different view of death than the non-Christian does. And Paul, when he faced the reality of his own death, wrote this, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." We live in a world, this world, as a servant of Christ. We live in this world longing for Christ, and therefore death is the means by which our hearts desire Christ can be achieved. If you think about it, death is the crowning moment of faith. The writer here says, these all died in faith. Death did not hinder their faith. Death was a part of their faith, was it not? Now, do not misunderstand me. I'm not saying that death is not terrible. It is. I'm not saying death is no longer an enemy. It is. I'm not saying death is not hard. It is. I'm not saying death is not sad. It is. But because of Christ, because of Christ on the cross and the shed blood there for us, death has been swallowed up in His victory. So that death has no victory of its own. Death has lost its sting. These were still living by faith when they died. And in death, what they had not received on earth, they received. So the acknowledgement that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth made it clear that they what? They were seeking a country. So living as strangers and pilgrims on earth declared plainly, the writer says, that they were seeking a different country, a different place. Now, notice what he says in verse number 15. If they had been mindful, if they had been thinking about the country where they came from, they might have had opportunity to do what? Return. Did they return? No. And so they didn't return because what? Their mind was not on where they came from. Their mind was on where they were going. Say amen. The word strangers there describes not merely a person from another place, but rather someone who just doesn't fit in, who simply doesn't belong. The word pilgrim describes people who are simply passing through to a destination somewhere else. So it's clear that what we are seeking is not here. What we are seeking is not here. It can't be found here. What we are seeking is there. And for these that died in faith, they had given their hearts to another king and another country. And they could not and would not flirt with the things of this world because they had complete allegiance to the king of the city and country to come. So, let me ask you a question. Could Abraham have went back? Could Sarah have went back to their home that God called them from? And I would say that nothing stood in the way of that except their faith. The fact that they made no attempt to go back shows the reality of their faith. So whether or not we have really turned from this world, the fact that where we have really changed our allegiance from this world to Christ in that world is determined not by what we say, but how we live. Do we who claim to have faith live as pilgrims and sojourners here, seeking something there? You see, those of us who believe are a people who have exchanged our former hopes and our former dreams and our former affections in this world for new ones in Christ and in the world to come. We are a people who progressively think of themselves not in terms of old categories. I'm not a citizen of the old homeland, but in terms of where we are headed, in terms of who has called us, and in terms of those whom we will spend eternity with in heaven. So, seems to me that faith requires a willingness to leave everything in search of something else. Faith gives us a desire for something that is not here. Say amen. Something that's better than here. Faith seeks something not here because what we're seeking is something better than here. If our home is elsewhere, if our home is not here, and if our heart is where our home is with Him, and our hope is with Him, won't our lives be lived as strangers and pilgrims here? We have by faith seen better things in another place. So that our treasure is there. And if our treasure is there, so will our hearts. Therefore, we gladly accept the fact that we are sojourners here, because this sojourning tells us that we have something better there. So the way we get to heaven, how do we get to heaven? The way do we get to heaven is by faith in death. Say amen. I ran across this old children's song. I thought it was cute. It goes like this. It says, you can't get to heaven in a putty-putt car, because a putty-putt car won't pull that far. And I don't care what your putty-putt car is, you can't get to heaven any other way than by faith. Say amen. That's what faith does. It believes even when all that has been promised has not been received. And it sees and it believes and is persuaded of it and embraces it right on through death. So what could be more wonderful than this? That God is not ashamed to be called their God. That's pretty good. Think about it. The holy God, the God of all grace, the sovereign God of all the world, is not ashamed of those who trust in Him. He's not ashamed of those who sojourn in this world longing for the home that He, God, has prepared for them. God has prepared a city for us. For us. And this city that He has prepared is evidence that He is not ashamed to be called our God. God is not ashamed to be called their God, because for He hath prepared for them a city. The way we know that He's not ashamed to be called our God is He prepared for us a city. So, if we live in this world with a desire for God and the next world, God will not be ashamed to be called our God. Let me turn that around a little bit. If you in this world are not ashamed to be called His people in this life, He won't be ashamed to be called your God in the next life. The problem is, do we live our lives as if we're ashamed of Him in this life? So the question, let me get back to the question. Will your faith do you any good when you are dying? Because if your faith is no good then, it's no good now. If your faith is not enough to get you across the Jordan River, say amen, to glory, believing all the way that what you have not received in the promises of God, you will receive over there, then what you say you have now is not faith at all. So, why would we fear death? Well, I guess we might fear death if we are afraid of what's going to happen to us. Now, if you're a believer, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't fear, right? Because you know what's going to happen to you. Say amen. If you're fearing death for yourself as a Christian, that's simply ridiculous. Because death for us as believers is the only way that we go into the presence of God, right? And to go to Him who's not ashamed, death brings us into the presence of one who's not ashamed of us. There's no question what happens when a believer dies. They open up their eyes in the presence of God who's not ashamed of them and who has prepared for them a city. And for all eternity, they will receive the promises He has made to them. Maybe we fear death because we don't know what's going to happen to our spouse or our children when we die. And I say, why fear? Does not your faith believe that God loves your spouse and God loves your children and that God loves them more than you do? And that He can take care of them better than you can? By faith, when we face death, we do not dwell on what we leave behind, but what we have waiting for us in eternity. A good study for you is to go through the Bible and look at all the instances where people look back. Nothing positive happened by looking back. You remember Lot's wife? She looked back, longing for all the things that she will miss now that she wasn't in Sodom and Gomorrah. What happened to her? She was turned into a pillar of salt. And the deers came and licked her till she was all gone. I just added that. When we face death, it's not about what we're going to leave behind. It's not about what we're going to miss. It's not about what we're going to leave. It's about what we have waiting for us. And the moment our heart stops, the moment that our lungs cease breathing, the moment that our brain ceases its operation, we wake up in the presence of God who has prepared a city for us because He is not ashamed to receive us to Himself. You see, our hope is not on this side of death. Stop thinking that our hope is going to be realized this side of death. It's not. Our hope is going to be on that side of death. So, do you believe that God has a place for you? Do you believe that God has prepared a place for you? Do you believe that there's a place in the Father's house that Jesus has prepared just for you? Do you believe that when you die, He will receive you gladly, rejoicefully, as one who is not ashamed of you? Do you believe that? Then why would you fear death? You see, faith just keeps on believing right through death. These died in faith. Sojourning, pilgriming through this earth because their sights were on something better. By faith, they had seen something better. A country. And they kept their eyes on that so that even death did not hinder the faith and the persuasion they had in their hope of what was to come. So fixed were they on what was to come that they never even thought about turning back and going back home. they knew God had promised to them a city. They knew that God had promised to them a Canaan land. And although they were not able to realize it on earth, they knew that they would realize it in eternity. Say amen. They knew that if they lived this life unashamed of Him, when they passed into the next life, He would be unashamed of them. Say amen. Faith keeps on believing right through death.